I've got a lot of stuff to cover today. I just say important stuff, but I guess hopefully it's all important. Before I get started, I'd like to know if there's anything that any of you would like to discuss first.
I don't think so.
All right. Just as a reminder, our goals for let's go over the goals for the first 4 weeks. Number one, bring your practice down to its core. The exercise I sent you on Saturday night, I think, will help us with this. Number two, establish a minimum for new business. The third thing was to define your ideal client. And then the fourth thing was to tell your existing clients about the refinements you're making to your practice. One of the reasons that, let me come back to that. Just to go through that, that list, any further thoughts on your minimum as a team going forward?
Yes, we have the number.
What is that number?
The absolute minimum is 800,000 and the target minimum is 3 million. And those are the averages of all three silos.
Okay. So a CPA calls or someone calls to give you a referral, they say, tell me what your ideal client looks like or what your minimum is. The way you would describe your minimum is our minimum is $800,000 unless there are extenuating circumstances. Having said that, it's important that you know that a disproportionate share of our business comes from clients with $3 million plus. Are you all comfortable with that?
Yes.
All right. Who was that just answered?
Joel.
All right, Joel. The ideal client is made up of your minimum and the soft issues that you gave me in week one, likability, all those things. There's no reason to go through that again. So now we're down to telling your existing clients about the refinements to your practice. I asked you to put together a script this week or a bullet point on what that's going to look like. Joel, what have you come up with?
You mean like for a script?
Script, yeah. Bullet points, whatever.
Yeah, so I wrote out a script. Kind of just, it's a rough draft, okay? So it says, you know, like as we're talking to clients, as we're making this phone call, say, look, the road group was, and let me back up. I said that the top of this, it said it's a script. It's meant to be shared as a story, not read as a paragraph. But I'm going to read it to you as a paragraph, okay?
I got it.
So the road group was created in 2017 because Tim Ballany and Joel wanted to offer more to their clients, make each client's experience at Morgan Stanley unique. In order to deliver the full client experience to our best clients, we had to change. So we created Rho. Coincidentally, Rho is the 17th letter in the Greek alphabet, and its value means 100. It's also the first letter of each of our last names, so it fits. The Rho service model is our competitive advantage. It consists of three components. We utilize a multi-generational planning approach integrated with monthly client contact and rapid response to our client issues. Says we're able to provide this marquee service to only 450 clients within our seven-person team. So we must control our time and provide the service that sets us apart. This is non-negotiable. Says our clients know we will deliver the service they expect. So with Rho, we utilize a goals-based wealth management process to address our clients' concerns. The solutions we provide help our clients plan for their tomorrows and their families' tomorrows. So as we're talking to our clients, we're going to take different snippets of that and kind of share that as we're talking to like our first 20 or second 20 or third 20 and things like that.
Okay. I like a lot of almost all of it. Let me just offer some. This is, and I understand that this was a paragraph, not a story. I would not use that. You said in there, Joel, you had to change. Change sounds like you're blowing it up and starting all over. That's why we use the word refinement. I think it sounds smoother. And again, this is not so much substance but style. I think it's important, but it's substance and style. We in order to offer what we wanted to our clients, we had to make some significant refinements to our practice. Does that?
Yep. I like that.
Would that
I like
fit? It. Okay. I would not use 450 clients. That sounds like a lot to me. And I know you're dividing it by four, three now, soon to be four, but it still sounds like a lot of clients. I would say, read that part of the paragraph again where the 450 is.
I said, we're able to provide this marquee service to only 450 clients within our seven-person team.
Okay, I would say a limited number. Again, as I hear it and think of myself as a client, a limited number sounds stronger to me than 450. That's a lot of folks, no matter what the divisor is. That's the way that hits me. And the other thing is, right at the end, you started getting into how you manage the money and the approach. I think that's too much detail for an initial. What you're doing is rolling out the big picture, which is you want to offer more. You wanted the experience to be unique. You made some significant refinements. We've gone to a limited number of clients. I think working in offering the monthly schedule contact, which I think, yeah, you did that. And the other would be we're offering multi-generational and fully implemented planning. That to me is all the big picture. Going into the goals based and all that feels like too much detail. That's something that I think would be better handled in a later meeting.
Okay.
I like what you've done. You did the work. I'm trimming here on the edges, not blowing the thing up. So that's my thought. Melanie, what do you got?
Well, we all did this together. Joel had the first pass at it, and then we just talked about it. So we didn't try to separate our stories.
Okay. All right. So. When you talk to your clients, you're going to be talking about you want to offer more the uniqueness of multi-generational planning. It's going to be it's going to be the same conversation that Joel just went through.
Yeah, okay. It'll be the same conversation, you know, because there's not any reason to go back to history of whatever happened, or there's not any reason to say because so-and-so retired or something like that, you know. I mean, I think my clients particularly, they get it really well as far as why the team was formed. What they need to get is how the refinements are going to benefit them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the week when you've taken over George's clients. Do I understand that right?
Yep, that's correct.
Full week. Thanks for taking the half hour out. You don't
sure.
have any half hours this week. How are you sharing this with them, Melanie? Can you mail having primary responsibility for these relationships with the script or bullet points that we're just talking about?
Yeah. So what's happened right now is. George sent a letter, and then, of course, the branch, you know, had to send a letter because of the FAA numbers and all. And then what I've done is just reached out to starting to reach out to the top folks as far as, you know, calling them, email, sending them our road brochure, which is new. And in the letter, it references that they would be with our group. And so then the next step is kind of letting the weeds shake out. I mean, some of these people, you know, if they're going to go, I'd rather them go ahead and go. And then in the next 2 weeks, we'll be communicating the Supernova story to those that will be in that group. Joel and Tim have assisted where needed in that also.
All right. So are these clients that you have known previously? Are these brand new relations?
I've known them in a planning capacity, and the only other person that's really known them is George, because he kind of operated a lot of, you know, talking about things and trading, kind of like old style broker.
Sure. All right. So they know that you are now, you have primary responsibility through the correspondence.
Correct.
Are you scheduling those people to come in? What are you going to do to get to know those people better?
Right. So the scheduling them, most everyone that lives here, I've already met with them in person. Well, everyone that does. George's clients don't live here. So I've offered to meet with them when I'm seeing other clients in Connecticut and Denver and Oak Island and Blowing Rock and, you know, wherever they are. So I think, you know, I think that'll be well received. It's going to be, some of them it's just going to be kind of hit or miss.
Okay. What do you think is going to be the biggest obstacle you're going to have to overcome?
They're friends with George.
George has been an advocate for you, though, correct? Has he rolled this out?
Yes, but it's just not the same person or style or, you know, anything like that. That's why we tried to leverage Tim and Joel also.
All right. But so I know the answer to this. I think I heard the answer, but I got to ask to be sure. You're advertising the whole team.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, got it. Is there anything that you fear? Do you fear price? Is there any one thing that you think is going to be the biggest issue? Distance.
I think distance and like I said, the friendship. You know, I mean the relationship, because there was probably maybe 20 or 25 clients, and he probably talked to them every other week about something other than investments, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's difficult to overcome. You know, some of them may be really welcoming. One of them already said how much he was welcoming the structure that we were bringing to this. And they're either going to like it or they're not, you know?
Well, you bring a lot. I mean, you, Joel, Tim, all have designations. You bring a lot of experience. I mean, if you had the LOS of each of the three of you, how much is that?
25 years.
No. All three of us is probably
80. Yeah.
So, and you, the importance of experience. Some people. I'm sure you've heard this phrase. Some people can have 30 years experience, and some people can have 1 year's experience 30 times. In other words, they don't get any better. what I would suggest, and again, all I can do is apply my experience to this, Melanie, is I would stress the experience you all have had. These clients have gone through some violent markets. On the upside and the downside, people who had a steady hand kept people invested during the difficult times, didn't let them get carried away when things were a whole lot better. In other words, kept them within their risk tolerance. That's what you can't do that unless you've been through it, and you all have been through it. That's so important. The other thing I would stress is the size of your support staff. I mean, you've got – when people need things done, you can get things done. Again, I'm trying to think about this. If I'm living, you know, 500 miles from you, you want me to stay on. George was my primary relationship. What would make sense to me? Number one, your experience and your designations, and the other is the size of your support staff. When clients need things. You'll get them done. And again, I that's what I'd be talking about
Okay.
Plus whatever you think is important. Tim, anything to add?
I would add that Melanie and I actually attempted to put this script to the test with the client on Friday, and the way that we articulated it was that we formed this team not out of necessity, but because we chose to implement a team which will provide a higher level of service for clients like you, which this client would be a Supernova client.
Uh-huh.
The way you described it was a deep sort of we have a deep bench with infrastructure for support. I focused on Michael Harris a little bit as an analyst. We wanted to make sure that the cornerstone of our practice was more goals-based planning. And I think that resonated. We didn't focus on the experience of the cumulative experience of not just the key advisors but the whole team.
And the client said about diversity.
Oh, and yeah. You know, one of the motivating factors in forming this team is the diverse talent that we've got on our team. And so we focused on that with this conversation. Melanie being a female, Mike being the millennial representative, we feel like we have everything, you know, the demographics covered.
Good, good.
Well, I thought.
Did they give you any indication that they saw value in this, Tim?
Well, absolutely. So, you know, this client came aboard over the past 6 months with just me and Tammy, and by the way, this client is looking at retiring later this year. Through doing the plan, you know, she realizes that she can really retire at any point and be fine. And she's got $5 million in her 401k that she probably will roll over. That's the intent anyway. They have business elsewhere at Fidelity. But when I described that in December that I'm, you know, forming a team of seven, and I described our team, it really, I think, gave me a lot of credibility in her view. And so we're going to try to nurture her along with her husband to you know, show her what all we can do through the months here using the Supernova application.
Is she retiring from a place that could have other retirees you all would care about?
Absolutely.
All right. This is terrific. So, what can I ask?
And I want to add that she is sensitive to environmental, social, governance type of investment management. And I think this firm probably there's probably more like her. And she's an executive. She's a high-level executive with this company. That could be a niche, in other words.
Yeah, it sure could. Here's just one of the things about your planning, and I'm jumping ahead, but I'm thinking my mind's just spinning here with this lady and the opportunities she could provide, is the planning you all do is how you separate yourself from other planners is your plans are reviewed on a regular basis. This is going to be your planning brand, and again, I'm jumping ahead about 3 weeks. And your plans are fully implemented. When you get in front of a prospect and you're talking about having a planning-based practice, goal-based, however you describe it, and the client figuratively or literally holds up her hand and says, I've already got one of those. I've already got a plan. I want you all to be able to ask, to say, well, I'm glad you've done that. May I ask you two questions? How often is your plan revisited? And has it been fully implemented? We had a big push on planning at Merrill Lynch early on. A lot of plans were done. Very few of them were fully implemented. So do you see, Tim, how those two things can separate you from the competition?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that, in our meetings, we're always going to start with the plan up on the screen to use it as a reference in our discussion.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I've got a friend at Morgan Stanley, and he ran me through that one day just to show me what it, and it was a great presentation piece. It was really, really strong. All right. Now, the one thing, and again, I'm jumping ahead, but when I asked you, Tim, when you said you use this with a client, and I asked you if they recognize that what you're doing is value, I mentioned this briefly before, I want you all to be really cognizant of folks recognizing your value. Melanie, I really appreciate the planning you've done. I sleep a lot better at night. Or Joel, I never really thought about it that way. I never understood it makes me feel really good that I've got a 95% probability of hitting my goal. Folks, those are all recognition of value. And what we'll get into later is the best time to start a referral conversation is when a client, when value is given and value is recognized, you provide the value, the client recognizes it. And no matter what happens, whether you decide it's time to go make that a referral conversation or not, you always confirm that to the client that you heard it. One common mistake is advisors, the client will say something really nice. Tim, I really appreciate how you've guided me through these volatile markets. A lot of FAs will deflect that compliment. Well, that's just what we do. That's not fair. To the client, they've given you a gift. You say, Mitch Jones, thank you for saying that. We work really hard to provide that type of guidance. You confirm that you heard it. You give them the benefit, the thank you to the present. Do you understand that, Tim?
Yeah.
Good. All right. We'll come back to that. Let's the exercise. The one thing we get the practice down to its core. I ask you to do a little bit of work. Joel, you want to go first?
Absolutely.
All right. Total number of households.
Okay, so can we just – well, I'll just give you the answer. I'll tell you what you're asking, and then I'll kind of add some flavor to it, okay?
That's perfect.
All right. So 190 households.
Yep.
Okay. And Heidi and I have been working on this all week, okay? So we have identified 90, 91 supernova households.
Yep.
We're going to send, on the first phase, we're going to send about 24 to the call center.
Yep.
Okay. And then we're going to have 76. We and Tim and Melody and I came up with this term. We're going to call them OTG clients. Off the grid.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. What we've talked about doing, okay, and this is new to you, and Melanie, if I say something that we haven't discussed, chime in.
Okay.
So we're going to probably put them on a two contacts per year, okay? One's going to be a review. Maybe it's a letter review.
It's a standardized review that is generated automatically by the system. We don't touch it.
Right. So it's going to be something we send in the mail to them. Okay. If there's been any updates to your financial situation, anything we need to know about, please let us know. So it's a kind of a form letter that goes out. Okay. That second contact throughout the year could be lunch. It could be a phone call. It could be a phone review. You know, that's going to be left to the individual FA to kind of work that a little bit, okay? Because these are, as we've gone through and identified these are clients that have 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 of assets generating, you know, 4,000 down to 5,000 down to 1,000 of revenue. They're probably not going to be a supernova client,
But at this point, I don't think we're comfortable getting rid of those kinds of clients. So that was our thought process.
Yeah, so Rob, the deal is, Tim and I can't get rid of them in a whole fell swoop. So we can, we can do this with them, and it'll be more contact than they've ever had. To have a formalized mailed review, and then on that 180 days later, we might take everybody in April and just push a white paper out to them. So these are things that are automated, that don't take our time, but it's still providing some service to every client that deserves it. And if we onload it other clients, then we could, as our FAPs go away, we could offload these clients to an advisor who a $500,000 client would be very meaningful.
Okay. Let me go back. Joe, so 91 folks are going to get going to be offered this full Supernova treatment, monthly scheduled calls, rapid response, and multi-generational fully implemented planning, right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. 24 are going to the call center. As I said to you in the email, once you've made the commitment that they're going to the call center, I consider them out of the account, out of the practice. So we don't, they're gone. Okay. Now my question is on the 76 that are off the grid. You've got some folks in there that you don't want to get rid of because of the revenues they're producing. Why do they not deserve the Supernova experience?
Well, you could start going through these and say, here's a retiree who's 67 years old, right? And he's, $500,000 of revenue at $500,000 of assets at 1%, so it's generating $5,000 a year. But there's no other assets that are going to come, and as we've talked to the client, there's not a lot of, wealthy children or things like that. So it's kind of like a standoff account, right? So it's an IRA. It's easy to manage. It's 67, client might live to 80, 85. So that's revenue for the next 10, 15 years. And so before we just, offload that, that's $5,000 a year of revenue. That's not something I personally am comfortable giving up at this time.
Yeah, and you shared that with me. We also talked about, just to use this as an example, if you brought in a $3 million relationship, that could give you the comfort of reducing some of those off the grid people.
And if we do that, I guarantee you they'll be the first to go. We'll be moving them off as we bring people on.
All right. You all pay me to tell you what I think is in your best interest. Decide how to do it. Here's my
concern. And you know what, Rob? We appreciate that. We had a conversation. We knew this was going to come. So go ahead and let us have it.
It's your practice. You get to decide. Here's my concern: is those 76 people are going to, while it may, they may not take a lot of your time, they are going to take a portion of your staff's time, tax time, RMDs, all of those things take time. So I'm concerned about that. I know the way I'm looking at it is the reason that you've got these OTG accounts is that you're trying to get your number under 100, which is 91, and you don't have space to give these people. Well, I'll just ask you the question. Are those people there because you don't have the space to give them Supernova, or you don't want to give them Supernova?
Yeah, I can give them Supernova, but I don't think they deserve Supernova. I don't think that a $500,000 account that has been working with me for, 10 years and is used to, two or three calls a year and maybe one review, that if I start contacting them every single month, I think all they're ever going to be able to do is refer me another $400,000 or $500,000 account. And that's not the kind of client that I want anymore. Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was pretty much finished.
Okay. Sorry for interrupting you. Okay. Melanie, tell me what you've done, or the numbers for you guys.
Yeah, so fairly similar. I've got 120 Supernova, 35 Butlers, and then 80 of that OTG, that off the grid. That as our practice grows and as my FAP goes away, I mean, I've still got 4.5 years on my FAP, then I can actually try to look at, you know, moving those people on to another advisor.
Okay, so you're going to have responsibility for 120 Supernova clients?
Correct.
All right, that's a full plate. I mean, that's at 100, Melanie, that's 5 calls a day, 25 a week. At 120, you're increasing your workload by 20%, and you know we teach working less, not working more.
Right, but you know I've got the unique situation that I have Mike Harris as part of my silo, who is also a financial advisor.
Yeah. All right, so Mike works is going to be involved with you solely?
No. He's involved with me because he's always been part of my team. But then his other functions and responsibilities are more supportive and an analyst role for Roe, for Tim and Joel and investment proposals and that sort of thing.
Okay. All right. I'm looking at the clock. Do you have just a couple more minutes?
We've got
actually not.
Yeah, we've got a luncheon meeting.
Okay. Can I, Tim? Can I get your numbers?
Sure, I'll be quick. I've got 40 solid Supernova type of clients, and I'm planning to add another 17 to that list just because the people I recognize deserve to have that Supernova service.
So, are you saying 17 onto 40, or a total 17
yeah,
takes you to
40? Total 57.
Okay. All right.
No.
How many Butlers?
Well, that's a good question, and that might take longer answer. But I'm estimating that I have a solid 273 households. I've got more than that, but I've got a ton where their revenue is $100 and less, and I think I can offload those in a fairly easy way. So the 273 household, that's kind of an estimated figure. The other thing is I have 4 retirement plans owned by Supernova clients. Those participate and to participants are, you know, each one of those is one household. So I'm kind of lumping all that together under that business owner.
They're not in your numbers.
Well, they're in my 273 households.
So all the participants are in those 273?
Yes.
Okay, I'd ask you to take those out for next week's meeting. The last question I'm going to ask you is the 4 retirement plans you have, do you have the principals for those companies as clients?
Yeah, as I mentioned, that the principal, all of those are Supernova clients.
Okay, the reason I ask is if you've got a retirement plan but you don't have a relationship with the primary person.
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, my experience no. is those aren't profitable. All right, folks, I'm going to have to – not have to. I'm going to look at these numbers. When do you want to kick off your – when do you want to start your scheduling? I mean, not when do you want to start the scheduling. When do you want the scheduled clients to start?
Well, we've got Joel's out next week, and what's going on here internally is Salesforce is coming to Morgan Stanley, which, as you know, Salesforce is a client contact system.
Uh-huh.
So Mike Harris is in New York and asking for us to be the part of the pilot, and we're trying to figure out how that's going to integrate with Scheduler and with our task system and so forth. And we've told them that we're doing Supernova right now. So we might have to get back to you on when do we want the scheduling to start.
Okay, here's the key question. Is,
okay.
is does it we use the scheduler. It's an Excel spreadsheet, and then we transfer that over to Outlook.
Right.
Is Salesforce going to be? Can you download things into Salesforce? Can you download an Excel spreadsheet into Salesforce? That Mike needs to get that answer.
Okay. All right. I'll ask him because you know they'll refine it for Morgan Stanley. We used it at Merrill before I left there, and it was a little different too. So, can you download an Excel spreadsheet into Salesforce?
All right. I'm going to, in the interest of your time, I'm going to send you an email with some things I'd like to you to have on your that we can discuss next time. Now, with Joel out next week, do we want to skip next week?
I think so.
I think that might be. There's still some things we need to kind of finalize and just talk among ourselves. And until we get too far into the Supernova week four, week five, we need to kind of make sure we're.
I agree. I'll take out next week and add it to the end.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
See you later. Okay. Bye.